हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 21, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 15, Spontaneous Devotional Service. This point has already been explained in the third verse, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1, 2, 3. Sabhakti, Saptama, Skande, Bhangya, Devar, Shino, Dita. Bhakti has been explained by Narada, along with other items which are not bhakti, but still Narada has also said, by devotional service, one cannot achieve such intense absorption and thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one can through enmity towards Him. That is my opinion. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.1.27. However, he makes this statement only to express the greatly inferior nature of his own Vaidhi Bhakti. In comparison to the presence of strong emotions, such as lust or enmity, as a means of attaining complete absorption in the Lord. Among the means of attaining the Lord, which are filled with emotions, the relationship of enmity to the Lord, although condemned, is also considered by him to be better than bhakti filled with rules, because it causes absorption in the Lord. Right? So he's pointing out this. This is why it's in this chapter on spontaneous devotional service. He's pointing out that spontaneous devotional service is superior to vaidhi. Right? So of the sadhanas, you know, then the vaidhi is you know, will be secondary compared to the spontaneity, but it has to be natural. So he's saying, because he, being a Vaikuntha man, is a Vaidhi, you know, follows Vaidhi, even on the platform of Prema, it has that Aishwarya. So it has the. So he's pointing out that this aspect of the spontaneity of the living entities have towards the Lord, even in enmity and that, is greater than the intensity of his in majesty. Not saying that it is, but that's how he's looking at it. You know, because the Vaishnavas always see themselves that they're not really the devotees, others are the devotees. So he's just bringing this out, that spontaneous devotional service is superior to his position because he's controlled by the rules. So even the demons, they're in a better position than him. Because it's connected to the Lord. Right? Because the point is, it's connection to the Lord, not just that you're angry or, you know, grumpy or like that. That's not the... Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur commentary says, how much greater then must be the absorption caused by Kama Rupa Bhakti? Right? So when it's directed at Krishna in a favorable way, how much greater it must be? The phrase tan mayata in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.1.27 means being absorbed in the Lord. In the same manner that a lusty man who is absorbed in women is called stri maya. Sneha is explained as follows. Some may claim that the sneha or affection of the Pandavas should be classified as ragatmika, since it is filled with friendly feelings of shakya for the Lord, evident in their dealings with Krishna. Nevertheless, because that affection is predominated by awareness of the Lord's powers, the sneha should be considered predominantly on the path of vaidhi. Vaidhi sadhana leads to prema with awareness of the Lord's power. Right? So, We're Raganuga sadhakas. But to get to Raganuga, we have to start with Vaidhi. Yeah, it's just where everybody works. And even you're following the form of spontaneity, it'll still look like Vaidhi sadhana. That's the whole point. This whole idea that there's a different set of rules. No, there's no. It's based on the attraction. Like, let's say there's a certain, like, let's say, like, vegetables. Okay? And there's someone who eats them because they like them. Right. Another eats them because they have minerals and vitamins and they're good for you and roughage and all this kind of jazz. But the point is there any difference in the eating? They're both eating vegetables. It's just a matter of one likes to eat them, the other one does because you're supposed to eat. That's the difference between the one. So, even though we may be practicing Advaita Bhakti, it's in pursuance of Rag Bhakti, which is in pursuance of Rag Atmika Bhakti. Right? Does that make sense?
Maharaj, another question about Narada Muni. So Narada Muni is the expert who very advanced in Vaidhi Bhakti.
Yes.
But when he came as a...
Not in Vaidhi Bhakti, meaning he's on the platform of Prema, but it's coming. It's based in Vaidhi, so it has majesty to it.
Yes.
So the majesty is always, you're aware of his position, so it always has that element of the rules.
Yes.
Like you said, he's a Vaikuntha man, so then you'll see that. Though, Narad Muni seems to be in a unique position that he appears to be in all the rasas in all the realms. But, you know, as the devotee who plays as Veena, you know, the son of Brahma and that, in that kind of aspect, then he is you know, situated in the Vaikuntha rasa. But he appreciates all the anything connected with Krishna. That's his unique position.
And Shiva's?
He's the same person.
He's the same person, but same...
Yeah, but just different flavor. Now you're connected with Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah.
The other is connected with Vishnu, or with Krishna, like this.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, different form of the Lord, different mood.
Okay.
So you see is that he's defined in all the different places.
Yeah.
Generally we hear of him in Shanta or in Dasya.
Yeah.
Like that. So it's only when you get into the into Goloka, then you might start hearing about the others. But it's not talked about much. As Narad Muni, the one who, you know, the preacher and all that, then it will be based on those first two. So he's always going to put it that they're in spontaneous, so that's higher than his position. So then one would then the argument comes up, or the discussion comes up, is that so then it could be that you would take the Pandavas as Ragatmika, because we've already said that only the Brajbasis it's Ragatmika. Everyone else, then it's not Ragatmika, because it has that aspect of majesty. Nevertheless, because that affection is predominated by awareness of the Lord's powers, that sneha should be considered predominantly on the path of Vaidhi. Right, so even though it may, whether this sneha is being used as the general term or it's being used as the position in the you know, eight different levels of prema, but sneha is one of them. So, but the point is that it'll still be within the context of Vaidhi. Vaidhi meaning that of the rules.
Yes.
Right, so this is Vaidhi sadhana. Leads to prema with awareness of the Lord's powers. So he's on the platform of prema, but he's aware of the Lord's powers.
Yes.
While the Brajbasis, they're not aware of his powers. And even if you make them aware, they really don't care. It doesn't change anything for them. You know, it's just like, let's say, for us, you're standing there, you know, let's say there's some program, so many things are happening and all this. And, you know, one's, you know, busy doing so many important things. And you see some guy sitting over there. He's, you know, kind of ordinarily dressed and this and that and looks a little spaced out. And, you know, so you figure other people can take care of him. You're going to take care of the big stuff, right? So, you know what I'm saying? Now, let's say somebody comes over to you because you're the, you know, one of the prominent persons there and says, hey, that guy over there, see that guy over there? That's this guy, and he's some, you know, big guy.
Yeah.
You know? Like that. Now you're inclined to go over, because it changes your perspective. Does that make sense? But for the Brajbasis, that Krishna can be God, it really doesn't matter. It won't change their affection for him, the mood, how they deal with him. It won't change them. Does that make sense? But in Dwarka it does. And Vaikuntha is permanently Aishwarya. But in Dwarka it'll go back and forth. you'll see a lot of the sweetness, but at the same time is then there'll be situations where the majesty comes out. Right? So then that's what's being pointed out. This sneha is thus not suitable for pure raganuga sadhana. Right? Because raganuga sadhana will bring you to ragatmika bhakti. If the word sneha is taken to mean general prema, it is impossible to follow such prema, since no particular details are given about actions that are unique to such prema. Thus it would not be fitting for raganuga sadhana, because of the lack of any unique features to support it. If one purposes that sneha means a particular elevated type of prema, not mixed with awareness of the Lord, then it will end up being classed as sambandha rupa, relationships of thirst, other than kama. But that is already mentioned in relation to the Vrishnis, actually the inhabitants of Vraja, right? So these Vrishnis, when it mentions here, it means the residents of Vrindavan, right? Because I'm not sure how it comes that these are the area, because also you talk about Vrindavan, you talk about Mathura, it means when, but much of the time they're talking about the Vraj Vasis, not the Mathura Vasis, because it's in the district of Mathura. So they say the land of Mathura and this and that. That's because Braj is there. And then connected, that expanding from there is Mathura. So Mathura becomes glorious because Braj is there, not because it's Mathura and then Braj is connected. Right? Does that make sense? So here the Vrishnis, then how that's established, unless it's something to do with Nanda Baba, he's somehow or another connected, because I think he's the son of a king.
Both Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev. The father is the same.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, okay. So just one took up the Kshatriya duties, the other took up the Vaishya duties. Okay. So that's then the Vrishnis there. Because they're just meaning those that are under, because Nanda Baba being the king of Vrindavan, then that way then they're all Vrishnis. Does that make sense? So just in case, you know, sometimes it mentions. If it says the Yadavas, then generally that means those in Dwarka. Yes. If it says the Vrishnis, then here generally means those in Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does that make sense? So if it's just some general, then it's not going to be about Raganuga Bhakti. So it doesn't apply there. It'll just be considered as another name for prema. Because the sneha, what does it say? It just means that it's, does it say? What sneha means? Yeah, I forget what it was. What the word sneha specifically meant. But it has an aspect that can mean just prema.
You said affection.
Sorry?
Affection.
Affection, yeah. So it can just be, it's on that platform. But it can be in the stage of Raganuga Bhakti, where above prema, then you have, you know, sneha and rag and man and all these aspects. Mm-hmm. We're talking about this eight. Mm-hmm. But it can also be, sneha can just be used as a general term for prema. In that case, it doesn't have anything specific that you would apply in rag, so it wouldn't have any meaning there. And if it does have, because you're using sneha in that way, then it would mean sambandha rupa, means friendship, means relationships in braj, in ragatmika, that are not kama rupa. So kama rupa is in its own class, right? Because kama rupa, it would say kama rupa, right? So if it's just saying sneha, then it's meaning that. Now if they're talking within kama rupa about sneha, then it means that specific stage, that aspect is being tasted, right? Because they have the mahabhava is there in the gopis, but these others are tasted in that field of mahabhava. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It seems that it's quite often, you know. We see one name has a meaning, but it also means
other things.
Other things.
Yeah, it just depends on the context. Just like Gokul, then we're used to it meaning the Boma Lila of Vrindavan. Yes. Right? But in other ways, it's also mentioned that when you're talking about Goloka, you know, the planet, then Gokul means Braj, and Goloka means everything else outside of Braj. It means Mathura, Dwarka, you know, Swetadweep, everything like that. So, depending upon the context it's being brought out, so there must be some root that connects them. But it's just bringing out this aspect or that aspect. Mm-hmm. So that, well, that when the Sandarbha has that little quote of the explanation from the Nirupta of Pratishta, like that, could you show that to Chaitanya for me? Okay, the bhakti mentioned in verse 275, bhaktya vayam vibho, should be accepted as vaidhi in nature. This is because it's the only type of devotion left. After enumerating ragatmika, kama and sambandha, vaidhi mixed with sneha, the pandavas, and rejecting dvesha and bhaya as bhakti. Right? So that envy and anger and these things, those are given up. It is also understood that vaidhi bhakti, because the devotion of Narada was characterized by reverential worship of the Lord in his previous life. In the first of the two verses quoted, 274, five items are mentioned. Lust, hatred, fear, affection, and bhakti. In the explanation of the author, six items are mentioned, corresponding to items apparently listed in verse 275. Lust, hatred, fear, relationship, affection, and bhakti. This mention of six items is only in deference to the commentary of Sridhar Swami on the Bhagavatam verse. Actually, the meaning of the last line of verse 275 should be, from Sambandha filled with affection, you, Pandavas, and the Vrishnis achieved the goal. Thus, there is only one item instead of two for both the parties. The Pandavas and the Vrishnis, footnote 10. Though the Pandavas' relation is here classified as Sambandha because of their affection, previous cause of ultimate rejection as part of Ragatmika Bhakti still stands. Pandavas had awareness of Krishna as the Lord with powers. Sambandha and Sneha should then not be distinguished as separate items. This is according to Vopadeva. Thus, the second verse will have five items as in the first verse. This agrees well with the next verse in Bhagavatam. Right? So, then Sridhar Swami is bringing out six items just to bring so that you are aware of the differences of the usages of the words.
Yes.
But still it's five items.
Yes.
Right? This agrees well with the next verse in Bhagavatam for five types are again mentioned. Any of the five types of persons, but not King Vena, who did not concentrate on the Lord, will attain their objectives in relation to the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.1.32. Right? Because King Vena wasn't concentrating on the Lord. He was just bad. You know, he was lust, hatred, fear, you know, that's just what he had. But it wasn't connected to the Lord, therefore he got no benefit.
Mark, can we say that between the five and three, the difference is the relationship?
Yes, it's just a matter of whether it's whether we're talking about Braja Bhakti, you know, Raganuga, or we're talking about the majesty. It means the Ragatmika or the majesty. So that's all. So, because the sweetness, there's some element of that, therefore the friendship and the sambandha and all that, but so it'll have that similarity to the sambandha rupa in Braj,
yes.
But there's that touch of majesty, so it's not ragatmika. But you'll see elements of that friendship and closeness,
yes.
And those kind of things. So that's what you'll see in the Dwarkavasis. You'll see this aspect of sweetness there,
yes.
But at the same time, it's not the same as Braj.
Yes.
Yes.
The one within the Braj, it is defined as the softness of heart which manifests as constant cry because of this.
Constant?
Cry.
Cry.
Shedding of tears.
Oh, okay.
So that only Brajvasis.
Only they have. Yeah. Because you don't see, is when Krishna is not Dwarka, you don't hear about them, you know, just completely devastated. Like you go to Dwarka and you see everything's going on nicely because it's all duties. It's their duty to take care and do everything nicely. But in Braj, it's simply their attraction to Krishna. So if Krishna's not there, they don't see any importance. That's why then you have the aspect where it goes in the discussion of when Uddhava goes to Braj, then it goes back and forth between the form of Braj when Krishna is there and the form when he's not there.
Yes.
So in other words, it goes back and forth between the apricot and the pricot. Like that. Does that make sense? So in dealing with them and they're feeling those separation and everything, that's pricot. That's what's going on. But when he first comes in and everybody's dressed nicely and they're all coming back with the cows and everything like that, and everything looks like clean and nice and well made, decorated and very auspicious, that's the apricot. He's actually seeing the apricot leader, not the pricot leader. Then when he's dealing and interacting with Nanda and Jashoda, now he's seeing the pricot leader. But he does not notice the aspects that the kitchen's got cobwebs because no one cooks anymore. No one eats. Right? So you have it's just by the Lord's arrangement. Because the point is he's appreciating the position of their love for Krishna, that ragatmika position, how much it is greater than even the love in Dwarka. And of those in Dwarka, he's considered the top. So that it's understood what's beyond, what's there. That's the spectrum. Is that?
Mm-hmm. This thing in Preeti Sandarbha elaborated.
It gets into that.
Towards the end.
Okay. Purusham here refers to the Lord, meaning. The meaning is, quote, any of these five persons will be successful in relation to the Lord, end quote. Footnote 11. Thus, what the Bhagavatam verse have illustrated is two types of ragatmika bhakti, kamarupa and sambandarupa. Right? And there, sambandarupa is with knowledge of the Lord. So in that way, then, there's only two forms. Right? And then the others, then you're taking it outside. It's not favorable to that, so we wouldn't recommend it. But they do attain Brahman, and they do attain that sambandha rupa aspect, but not within ragatmika. So in other words, by explaining ragatmika bhakti in Vrindavan, you've explained all other forms of bhakti. Because the aspect is this, that is to please Krishna, that's always going to be the same. Right? That you use specific forms, and how those are used, it'll be the same. Like Mother Jashoda cooking, and Devaki in Dwarka, it'll be, the technique is the same. There's a fire, you put a pot, you put things in the pot, you stir it around. It's not going to change. But what changes is within the Jnana Shakti is seeing it in relationship in majesty or not. So the form is the same. But because of the aspect of the Jnana Shakti, they see a difference in majesty or sweetness. Because if there's any majesty, it's majesty. Right? So that's why in other places, then we were saying about the overlap of terms, then you have below Vrindavan. Means it's Goloka. But it's Dwarka and Mathura. It's called Vaikuntha. Because Mahanarayan is in Goloka. Right? Balaram's expansion is in Goloka. Then he expands into the Chaturvyuha. They expand then into the, you know, the Dwarka Leelas, and also their expansion into the Vaikuntha. So that means Vaikuntha starts at Goloka.
Yes.
But in Goloka there's that touch of sweetness. Well, in Vaikuntha you don't have that. It's all majesty. It doesn't mean within majesty there's not some sweetness, but it's not coming from the position of sweetness. It's coming from the position of majesty. It's just like, let us say, you have a very properly cooked Karela sabji. It's a bitter sabji, but if it's really done properly in eating it, it's like it's sweet. The effect is bitter, but means you can say. The category is bitter, but the effect on your appreciation of it is—it's like it's sweet. Not a sweet meaning that, but it's nectarian. But it's bitter. So within majesty, you can have sweetness, but it's not based on sweet. Does that make sense? Yeah. 1:2:278. When it is said that the enemies and the dear friends of the Lord attain the same end, it means the same end only in the sense that Brahman and the personal form of Krishna are one entity, in the matter that the rays of the sun and the sun are one. In other words, they attain the supreme. But the position within it, one is attaining Brahman, the other is attaining Bhagavan. Okay? There may be some difficulty in understanding that both the gopis and Kamsa achieve the same goal. So this point should be clearly understood, because the attitudes of Kamsa and Shishupal were different from that of the gopis. Although in all these cases, the focus is on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all the devotees are elevated to the spiritual world, there is still a distinction between these two classes of souls. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, it is said that the absolute truth is one and that he is manifested as impersonal Brahman, Paramatma, Supersoul, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here is a spiritual distinction. Although Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are the same and one absolute truth, devotees like Kamsa or Shishupal could attain only to the Brahman effulgence. They could not have realization of Paramatma or Brahman. That is the distinction. So, he's saying, what he's meaning is, because they're absorbed in the Lord, who is the supreme transcendence, they all attain that supreme transcendence. Right? Because he's non-dual. Within that non-dual, there is distinction. There are features. Right? So just pointing out that everything is accomplished by connection to the Lord. Because you're thinking liberation or by connection to the Lord. So that one only needs bhakti. One doesn't need anything else. So we see it's like no, yeah. Okay. An analogy can be given with the sun globe and the sunshine. To remain in the sunshine does not mean one has gone to the sun globe. The temperature of the sun globe is different from the temperature of the sunshine. One who has gone through the sunshine in jet airplanes or in spaceships has not necessarily gone to the sun globe. Although the sunshine and the sun are actually one and the same, still there is a distinction. For one is the energy and one is the energetic source. The absolute truth and his bodily effulgence are in the same way simultaneously one and different. Kamsa and Shishupal attain to the absolute truth, but they are not allowed to enter into the Golok Vrindavan abode. Impersonalists and the enemies of the Lord are, because of attraction to God, allowed to enter into his kingdom, but they are not allowed to enter into the Vaikuntha planets or the Goloka Vrindavan planet of the Supreme Lord. To enter the kingdom and to enter the king's palace are not the same thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, it can be on the outskirts like that. That's why we see when the descriptions of Goloka, then it has tridents in all the different directions. In the 10 directions, just in case any of these, yogis, these impersonalists get a little too close. Then.
There are some different doors, no?
Yeah, but certainly they're just only those who are pure devotees can enter. So they don't have a problem. As you see, as they come from there, come to the material world, go back, Narad Muni travels around, goes to all the different places, so it's not a problem. Like he goes to Dwarka. That's the thing. That's why, as you said, he's the transcendental spaceman. Because he can travel anywhere in the cosmos. Okay. Yeah, so that's what's unique about him. That's why he's the representative of the jiva, if we're taking jiva as a tattva. So therefore, Srivas Thakur. And then we're taking energy, so that's going to be a Surya Shakti. That would be Yadatha Pandit. Right? Then you have him as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that's himself as Lord Chaitanya, as Krishna. Right? Then his first expansion, like that, then is Balaram. Then you have the expansion that deals with, because Balaram, that expansion, that side, then through Mahanarayan, then goes out to Vaikuntha. But you have the other aspects that's there in Balaram, but you don't see it. You only see it with then comes down from Mahanarayan into the Purusha avatars. So that's the three features of the personality of Godhead: the Purusha avatars, then the Vaikuntha, and then Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's why Panchatattva is the complete tattva. that covers everything. Srila Jiva Goswami. It was stated in verse 274, quoting from the Bhagavatam, that those with hatred and fear attained the goal, tad gatim gataha, as did those that conjured the love and affection. Right? That's why he's pointing out is that they've all attained, but just see how much greater must be those who are having that natural affection. Because they'll attain to these higher levels, and especially the gopis. The doubt may arise how an enemy of Krishna and a friend of Krishna can achieve the same goal. This verse clears the doubt. Priyanam refers to the gopis, Vrishnis, Pandavas, and Narada. The example of the sun and its rays are given in the Brahma Samhita. I serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental bodily effulgence, known as the Brahma Jyoti, which is unlimited, unfathomed, and all-pervasive, is the cause of the creation of unlimited numbers of planets, etc., with varieties of climates and specific conditions of life. Brahma Samhita 5:40. Bhagavad Gita also says, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. I am the shelter of the impersonal Brahman. You can also show him this one, because it uses the same word, pratishtaham, but I am the shelter, right? Pratishta means shelter. One should also see the commentary of Sridhar Swami on that verse. That is also suitable. Means Gita verse? Sridhar Swami wrote a commentary on Gita?
I think so.
Okay. That is also suitable. If a person becomes highly qualified, he realizes the condensed form through the appearance of the Lord as Bhagavan, with form and qualities. Otherwise, the person realizes the diluted form through the appearance of the Brahman, with no form and no quality. So one is concentrated, and that's why he says concentrated bliss. Otherwise, if it's diluted bliss, that's the Brahman.
Yes.
You know, or Paramatma, it's the yogis.
I think he wrote,
Okay. One should understand that the effulgence could exist only if it has a foundation. Thus, everything else is based on the Brahman, and Brahman is based on Krishna. Thus, even those satisfied with realization of Atma become attracted to the qualities of Bhagavan, because it's more condensed. If someone likes milk, then they'll become attracted by condensed milk.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's not a problem. It has a more deep taste.
Yes.
Right? If one is very inquisitive, one can consult the Bhagavat Sandarbha. So that one is very inquisitive.
So Maharaj, actually, is this the meaning of pratishta, means shelter, but usually we use the term, it's like...
To establish.
Yes, but also pratishta, we say it's like proud.
No, pratishta, because you're established, so then you can become proud of that. That can come off of that. Yeah, means that you're established in a position, so then you take off that. But it's the shelter.
It can be any position, any quality, be established, anything.
If you have a position, then you can become proud. You're becoming proud because of the position.
Yes.
So therefore, pratishtata.
Yes.
Right? But the thing is here is that, you know, it's because there's a shelter. You're taking shelter of that. Because I'm this, therefore I can be proud.
Yes.
But if you don't have that, you can't take shelter of it. You can't be proud. So your position has that shelter. And that ultimately goes back to Krishna.
But can say identification, I am servant of Krishna, therefore I take shelter.
Let's see. It means shelter, means that Krishna is the shelter of everything, right? So he is, means everything's resting on Krishna. You know, it's like, it says, like pearls are strung on a thread. So it's resting on Krishna. But then the point is Brahman, which is the shelter of everything, is resting on Krishna.
Yes.
So therefore, Krishna is the shelter of everything. Like that. That's what they're doing. So he's giving the shelter. So it's He is that. Therefore, all these different living entities who take shelter of Him will attain Him.
Yes.
But they'll attain according to the position of how they surrender. So because one is surrendered just to his absolute position, they'll attain Brahman. Someone surrenders because he's the supreme controller and all that, then that'll be Paramatma. They, because of that affection, that'll be Bhagavan. Is that some sense? Yeah. One, two, 279. The enemies of the Lord generally merge into the impersonal Brahman. Some of them, even though they attain semblance of a form similar to the Lord, Sarupa Bhasam, remain absorbed in the happiness of Brahman. So, even though they may stay in that form, so they can move forward from there.
Yes.
Means leaving their body here, they will attain Brahman.
Yes.
They won't go to Vaikuntha. But being there, they could move forward.
Yes.
Right. But, you know, some don't. They have a semblance of a form of the Lord's, but they don't operate it. They don't take advantage of it. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami is trying here to describe the different achievements of the impersonalists and the personalists. Generally, those who are impersonalists and are inimical to the Supreme Personality of Godhead get entrance only into the impersonal Brahman. When and if they reach spiritual perfection. Yeah, when and if.
Very nice.
Yeah. The impersonalist philosophers are in one sense like the enemies of the Lord, because the out-and-out enemies of the Lord and the impersonalists are both allowed to enter only into the impersonal effulgence of the Brahma-Jyotir. So it is to be understood that they are of similar classification. And actually, the impersonalists are enemies of God, because they cannot tolerate the unparalleled opulence of the Lord. They try always to place themselves on the same level as the Lord. That is due to their envious nature. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has proclaimed the impersonalists to be offenders of the Lord. The Lord is so kind, however, that even though they are His enemies, they are still allowed to enter into the spiritual kingdom and remain in the impersonal Brahma Jyotir, the undifferentiated light of the Absolute. Sometimes an impersonalist may gradually elevate himself to the personal conception of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita 7.19 confirms this. After many, many births and deaths, he was actually in knowledge surrenders unto me. By such surrender, an impersonalist can be elevated to the Vaikuntha Loka, spiritual planet, where, as a surrendered soul, he attains bodily features like those of the Lord. Right? So attaining that, then you see some of them take up and they do service. So they enter the dasya. But some also just have that, but they just are shantaras. They just appreciate. And then we see it in Kala, Mahakalapura, they have forms, but they're just meditating on Brahman. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Among the enemies, some merge into Brahman. Others, such as Sri Gala Vasudev, footnote 12. He was the king of Karavira and was killed by Krishna and Balaram while they were living in Mathura. Attained form somewhat resembling that of the Lord, but remain merged in the happiness of Brahman rather than serving the Lord. But the happiness of Brahman, because it's coming from Krishna, they're just appreciating. So they're just on that very edge, just enough that you would call it that they have a form, right? And that they're dealing like that. And so then they just stay on that edge. So everything has its range. 1, 2, 280. Moreover, it is said in the Brahmananda Purana, Siddha Loka, the spiritual world, is beyond Prakriti. There, demons killed by the Lord and some sages dwell, merged in the happiness of Brahman. Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmananda Purana is said, quote, those who have achieved liberation from material contamination and those who are demons and are killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead become absorbed in the Brahman concept of life and reside in the spiritual sky of the Brahma Jyotir. End quote. That spiritual sky is far beyond the material sky, and it is confirmed also in the Bhagavad Gita 8.20, that beyond this material sky there is another eternal sky, The enemies and the impersonalists may be allowed to enter into this Brahman effulgence, but the devotees of Krishna are promoted all the way to the spiritual planets. Because the pure devotees have developed their spontaneous love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are allowed to enter into the spiritual planets to enjoy spiritual bliss in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So like I said, they can come into the kingdom, but they can't come into the palace, or, you know, the grounds where he lives. Srila Jiva Goswami. The proof that the demons merge in the Brahman will be given in the first half of verse 282. The proof that some demons attain the planet of the Lord but still remain merged in the happiness of Brahman is stated in this verse. Thus the phrase Tata cha Brahmananda Purane, moreover, is used. Tamasa means Prakriti. Srila Vishnu, because we hear Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gopal Kumar is there, I think he's at the gate before he goes in. Then in the morning when they open the gate, then so many devotees are coming from all over, like that, and all different forms in that, and all different relationships of, you know, servitorship or shanta, and then they all go in. So you have a variety. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura. Siddha refers to sages. The sages and demons dwell on that planet of the Lord, merged in the happiness of Brahman. 1-2-281.
Those who, at the end of dissolution of the lifetime of Brahma, those who go into body of Lord, that state and this state of impersonalism, nothing is different?
This one, they're not merged in the body of the Lord. They're absorbed in Brahman. Merged in the body of the Lord, probably there's not much difference. So, because that happens, means everybody has all the three states of raga, bhaya, krodha, right? So then, that at the time of the end of the, at dissolution, then they're merged in the body of the Lord. Right, so that's where the Buddhist conception will come up from, that is an ultimate position. No, it's not. The Lord breathes out and you come back out. Then everybody's situated in the Brahman position of Vasudeva Sattva. Because before that doesn't say that they are. So it appears that those who are on Vasudeva, they don't merge into the body of the Lord. They just sit there in Brahman, in Vasudeva, like that, in that state. And so then that's there. They know that they're the soul. They understand, that Vasudeva is the supreme. He's like this and that, but there's no affection and no interaction. It's just a neutral state. But they have the inherent, because of the karana sharir, the idea to control and enjoy. Therefore, as soon as the Brahma makes his creation, then all those living entities go back inside. Then there's raga, there's attachment. Right? So the living entity is constantly tasting these three. On the cosmic level. Then, within the universe, then they're going through this in the cycle of samsara, tasting all this.
Why I ask this question is because when these impersonalists and sometimes are mentioned that they entered into the Vaikuntha Loka, it's different from that. That's why they specify.
Yeah, it's different. That's why it's mentioned, because these, they thought of the Lord, or they connected to the Lord. They go through the Brahma Jyoti. But these others, these that are impersonalists and all that, that's not about the Lord, they'll be within this context within the Mahatattva. Because the Mahatattva means it has that aspect of sutra. Right? Because Pradhan just means it's the material energy, so there's no connection of the living entity with them. But those living entities that have that desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, right? Then they're given that place within the material energy, right? But to do that, you have to have the variety and everything. So then, a vyakta is made. But until the Lord enters it, and until you add into it the aspect of the living entity wanting to control and enjoy, right? Then you get mahatattva. So it's known as sutra. Right? Then, from there, everything is in place. All the 8,400,000, all the 14 planetary systems, everything. But it's not manifest, so you can take advantage of it. That then comes with Brahma's creation, the secondary creation. Then they have a place where they can apply that attachment. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. Raga bandhena kenapi tam bhajanto vrajantyami angri padam shudha prema rupas tasya priya jana. Those persons most devoted to the Lord, who are the very form of prema, and who worship Him with intense spontaneous absorption, attain the nectar of His lotus feet. Jiva Goswami. This verse describes especially the supreme position of the devoted gopis. The word priya indicates this. Right? Because in the previous one, priya, what was it? Priyatam? What was the word used before? Priyanam refers to the gopis. Vrishnis, Pandavas, and Narada.
Yes.
Right? So in other words, those who have that devotion.
Yes.
Right? Like that. But then here, they're using priya, then it's specifically, now that we've set the position, now within that, now we'll use priyas. It means all of them, but it specifically means the gopis.
Yes.
So in other words, they're getting two things done by one word. Like that. It's something in Sanskrit that's brought out. Sometimes it's like a double in Nintendo. Okay, yeah, it means that it has two meanings. So it's not brought out much. People don't talk about it much. But a word can have two meanings and actually accomplish both of them at the same. Not that it could mean this or it could mean that, it's doing both at once. It means you have the word, it could mean this or it could mean that, but it's only accomplishing one. But it can be by doing that you accomplish two. Right? Let's say just for example, it means I'm just giving a concept. It's not necessarily the word itself works like that. There are words that work like this. Let us say that you have the problem of arranging the marriage, right? And because of this, then there's so much pressure from the family members and community and why nothing's going on, what's happening here, like this and that. At the same time, you have the child. They want to get married. So, by the marriage, you solve both these problems. You understand? Two things are done with one thing. Does that make sense? You know, yeah. So, that's the whole thing. So here is that by using the priya, it can mean from the short of priyatam. What's that? Priyanam. That it can mean all the devotees.
Yes.
But at the same time, it can also specifically mean the gopis.
Yes.
Because as we said before, there's only two classes. Technically, is that Kama Rupa and Sambandha Rupa.
Yes.
And then expansion of the Sambandha Rupa, where you mix majesty, then you start to get Dwarka. When it's just majesty, then you get Vaikuntha.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So then there's alterations in its application.
Yes.
Like that. So in that way, you can say there's two forms of prema. Does that make sense? And then within them, they'll have subdivisions.
But in order to understand that, you really need to understand the science of relationship.
Yes, yes. That's right. That means this first, the Eastern wave is to introduce us into that concept. And then the next two waves will talk about that concept. And the next two sides of the ocean, and then the last side of the ocean will talk about, so we understand what's not that. What's not proper relationship. How to attain that relationship, what is the relationship, and then what is not that relationship. So that'll be the four sides of the ocean. Yeah.
Also, we came across something like prayam or something, which refers exclusively to Radha.
Yeah.
The beginning.
So it's all of the same root, but then because if you take the one, the Sambandha Rupa, then that means all the other rasas other than conjugal.
Yeah.
You're just taking in general. And so that would mean all those, but then as you add majesty to it, then if it's in Goloka, then in Dwarka and Mathura, you still have the conjugal and parental. And so, but it takes on a particular nature, and it has a particular flavor and a depth to it.
Mm.
But when you add more majesty, then nobody can be God's parents.
Mm.
You know? like that, other than Lakshmi, then there can't have any other conjugal. And even then, the friends, then it's not. They're just constant companions, but they're not friends. Then there's only servitorship. So we see as it starts to come down and what qualifies in that. Does that make sense? So there's divisions. So within that, it's a matter of how much you're adding this majesty or not. And then within the kama, then you're going to have the general gopis, right? Like that. And then I'm not sure if they, I don't, do they count the queens in this? In kama rupa? I'm not sure that they do. I think it's still some mandar rupa, because they see it in the specific relation that I'm the wife, rather than like that. So, then, you're still going to have the general gopis in Vrindavan, then you're going to have Radharani's group in Vrindavan, and then you're going to have Radharani. So you're going to have three groups there. And even if you catch the conjugal, you're going to have the Braja mood, you're going to have the Dwarka mood of the queens, and then you have the Mahishis in Mathura, headed by Kubja. Right? It's directed towards Krishna, but it won't be on the same level as the other two. So it's considered Samanya. And then the Dwarka is considered a little bit more, and then the best is the gopis. So you can have within all of these subdivisions. Does that make sense? So even in parental, you'll have the parental in Braj, you'll have the parental in Dwarka, you'll have the then outside of Goloka, then you don't have parental. God doesn't have parents. Right? He is the parent, right?
Even within other rasas like Dasya, there are different gradations. Some are only belongs to Dwaraka and higher level. Within the Dasya, there is Jiva Goswami categorized into three: Palya, Dasya, and Lalya. Palya means one who are protected, like the general citizens.
Okay.
Dasya means one who are directly engaged in service.
Okay.
And Lalya means one who is protected, one who is cared by. It refers to the sons of Krishna.
Okay.
So that is possible only in Dwaraka.
Yeah. So in Golok you get this overlap. Vaikunta is one thing. It just has that aspect. Then you'll see is that all these come there, but it's in Braj that it has the greatest manifestation. Two eighty one. Raga Bandhena Kenapi Tam. Did we just say we just read this? Okay. 1.2.282. Thus it says in the 10th canto. Simply by constantly thinking of him, the enemies of the Lord attain the same Brahman that sages fixed in yoga worship by controlling the breath, mind, and senses. Similarly, we, Shrutis, adopting a mood similar to the gopis, and finally attaining similar bodies, will achieve the same nectar from your lotus feet that your consorts are able to relish because of their loving attraction to your mighty serpentine arms. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.23. Right, so that's what you mentioned before. Okay, the proof that demons merge is given in the first half of the verse. Proof that some demons attain the planet but still merge them in happiness is stated in this verse. In this verse. Thus the phrase. And then the ones about the devotees, that's in the second. In the second half. Srila Prabhupada. In the 10th canto, 87th chapter, verse 23 of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vedas personified address the Lord in this way. My dear Lord, yogis meditate upon your localized feature, and thus they achieve the spiritual perfection of being merged in the impersonal Brahma Jyotir. Persons who treat you as an enemy achieve the same perfection without meditating. Right? Because they're always absorbed in the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. So it's that same meditation. So that's the point. They're meditating on the Lord, but it's not favorable. The one is just meditating because that's the process. The other meditating because of their mood, but it's not about the Lord. The gopis who are embraced by your serpentine arms and who have such lusty attitudes also achieve the same perfection. And as far as we are concerned, being different demigods in charge of the different parts of the Vedic knowledge, we are always following the footsteps of the gopis. Thus, we hope to attain the same perfection. End quote. By the same perfection, we must always remember the example of the sun and sunshine. Those who are impersonalists can merge into the sunshine like Brahma Jyotir, whereas those who are in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead enter into the supreme abode of the Lord, Goloka Vrindavan. So it's just a matter, they follow who they're following, right? Does that make sense? Srila Jiva Goswami. The author matches the statement of this verse from the prayers of the personified Vedas in the 10th canto, with the attainment of Brahman mentioned in the first half of verse 279, and with the attainment of the Lord's feet by Raga mentioned in verse 281, by the use of api twice, once in each half of the present verse, two separate pairs of persons with differing destinations should be understood. The enemies of the Lord attain that Brahman, which the sages contemplate in their hearts, simply by remembrance of the Lord in fear or hatred. Striyaha here refers to the gopis, as they are well known in this context. The gopis attain the nectar of your lotus feet, the various types of sweetness filled with prema. We, the Upanishads, adopting a mood or emotion similar to that of the gopis, sama-drishaha, and thus attaining forms like them, samaha, also attain the nectar of your lotus feet. The detailed meaning can be seen in the commentary of Srila Sanatana Goswami on the 10th canto called Vaishnava Toshini. Furthermore, in the Brihad Vamana Purana, it is stated that the gopis attain the gopi bodies for which they have prayed. In the previous verse, the attainment of the Lord's feet also applies. In general, to persons who act with raga, though it directly indicates the gopis. The gopis mentioned in the Bhagavatam verse are those Kama Rupa Ragatmika devotees, and the personified Shrutis, who are speaking, are Kamanuga devotees, those performing Raganuga sadhana following after the Kama Rupa gopis. Similarly, the Vrishnis should be understood to be Sambandha Rupa Ragatmika Bhaktas. And those who follow after them would be Sambandha Nuga sadhana Bhaktas. Right? So you have Ragatmika and you have Raganuga. Right? So Kama Rupa and Kama Rupa Nuga. Does that make sense? Is that Raga Nuga? Yeah. No? Yes? This will come up many times, don't we? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi ki.